Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, yeah. Happy, happy hour. Oh, now he can let his freak fucking flag fly. Pete Dominic.
Hey!
Potty mouth Pete Dominic. Used to having his Sirius XM show. Already let an S-bomb fly on the regular show. Happy fucking happy hour, Pete.
I am so glad. I'm so happy that I'm on the happy hour. I'm like such a huge fan of you guys, and to be in your presence. And I know it sounds so maybe disingenuous because it's like, oh, that's how you get on a show. You kiss somebody. But I grew up listening to the show. I learned so much from you guys listening to your show.
Aww.
And I stole a tremendous amount. And I'm also, I should mention, I'm going to actual steal things
from the house.
Your space today.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
I'm going to take a picture.
Good. Thanks for the heads
and,
up.
And some food and probably a bench.
We were talking about we've been exchanging bodily fluids through other people for years and years. John Fiegel saying and whatever. And
no
I know
spark.
We've just never had an occasion to meet each other. And this is...
I used to be able to have you on my show when we were in a different time slot, when I had the CNN show for 1 second, but then we were in the same time slot, and we just couldn't be done.
But also, you're New York-based, we're LA-based, and so it was just a thing.
Two crazy kids.
But I also want to say, like, I never once saw you, I never thought of you as competition, because there is no competition. You're a monster, and I'm a little baby, number one. Number two, I believe in collaboration. Like, I want to root for other people who are doing good things, because as I came up as a stand-up comic, of course, and people... did not so often weren't helping each other. I was like, I want to work with people, not against people.
You know,
it doesn't make any sense to me.
Pete, I've had this conversation with so many, you know, whether it's comics or, you know, sometimes it's other women in show business. You're absolutely right. There are people that are supportive of other people, and there are people that are just jealous and competitive. You know, we had a magical happy hour with his Marc Maron, because Marc Maron was not in my time slot, but we were competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a grave where we buried the hatchet, because I used to have to drive into work crying, literally my steering wheel was like tears, because he was talking shit about me right before I came on, because he was mad that he was losing stations to me. And so anyway, and then when I, you know, when he, they kind of forced him to come apologize to me, and I think our station in LA, I was a fucking bitch to him. So
understandably
I apologized
so.
To him. I was like,
I gotta hear that.
Yeah.
It's not a noble, like it's not, you're not doing the right thing. If you're a very competitive person, you want to win in any industry that you're in, it still makes sense to collaborate and work with and be a good person to other people, because your reputation, in my opinion, is a huge form of currency. Like, I've got no skeletons in my closet or bridges that I've burned, because it doesn't make sense. And now in this transition in my career from SiriusXM to podcasting, it's so good that I did that. It was so good that I wasn't bad to people.
Well, and to Mark's credit, he talks a lot on his podcast about his insecurities. Yeah. And he's like, I'm just really sorry. I was really insecure, and I didn't know why I was losing stations, and I was pissed off. And so he was able to be honest about it. And I was able to say, I'm sorry, I wasn't more gracious.
I got to listen to that.
Yeah, but no, it was, listen, and Hal Sparks and I had it was not us. It was a business thing over the Sexy Liberal Tour. And it was someone else that's, was on the, you know, that was involved with the tour that is, you know, and his agent and whatever. But, you know, we just buried the hatchet because we never had a personal thing. And we've always been huge fans and supporters of each other. So
you said you recently did? You mean?
Within the last 6 months, I think. Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where you're like, what? We were never really mad at each other. What the hell happened? Like, it was a business thing. And, you know, he decided to focus on his own stuff. But I just thought, like, so right. And I think particularly in this horrible Donald Trump environment where every day is an assault on all of us, like, we need every one of our progressive warriors on that wall with us.
Yeah, but even if it's not, of course, progressive-minded people in media or in general should be working together and not burning each other down. But Americans in general, human beings, I mean this rule for, I could disagree with you on everything politically, but I don't want to tear you down. I don't want to burn your character down. Yeah. I'll burn your arguments down, but I don't want to destroy your reputation. And I understand that people do that. I understand that it's entertaining. Conflict wins, but it's never been my brand. I just can't do that.
People,
conscience.
I know when people, like, well, because you've been so kind, all the things you've said about, oh, you lift so many people up and you've, you know, give so many people a platform, but that's to my benefit. That's what I don't get. Why
sure.
people,
yeah.
Like, surrounding yourself with smart, funny people makes you look better.
I've always surrounded myself with people who are smarter and funnier, which is why I'm glad to be in your space.
Oh, you. So you were a New York boy, Syracuse, New York.
Yeah, I grew up in upstate New York.
Is that 716?
No, that's 315.
No.
That's the CNY, Finger Lakes, the 315. Yeah.
I'm from Lackport up at Transit, you know, from Cheektowaga.
That whole area now, from Buffalo all the way across New York State to Albany, people don't understand when they talk about the Rust Belt and manufacturing jobs. Like, people should look at upstate New York.
Yeah.
From Buffalo all the way across the state to Albany, all those cities were huge manufacturing hubs. And now, you know, it's a lot of empty warehouses over the last 30 to 40 years. And then Onondaga Lake, the most polluted place,
Onondaga. I think,
body of water in the world at one point it was.
Cheektowaga, Tanawanda. Onondaga.
They're all
Indian words for this is cold as fuck. I grew up my tits off. I got to get out of here.
But I mean, I'm so impressed with people who live in that climate where I grew up in upstate New York, where you grew up with the snow. But yeah, I also grew up right on the edge of the Onondaga Indian Reservation, right there on the border. And I learned a lot about that culture and where to buy cigarettes cheaply.
I remember I went to college and they thought all girls from New York had an accent, and I'm like, I'm not from that New York.
People don't realize that.
Said I think all girls from New York say shit and chew gum. I'm like, well, that's true.
No, you know, what do you call? How do I say it without pronouncing it? Well, how did you grow up referring to soda? I always called it soda, but
pop.
Yeah. That starts, I think, at Rochester and goes all the way to Michigan.
The pop line starts at Rochester.
Is that right? We always called it soda. Sneakers.
Yeah.
Not tennis shoes.
Yeah.
Regional dialects, folks. That's what we're talking about.
I think sneakers is an East Coast thing and tennis shoes is a West Coast thing.
I think you should watch your mouth. And I think that you're getting a little bit...
A little lippy?
Yeah. Why don't you just calm the fuck down, sir?
Oh, good. I was going to say thank you for swearing because I'm like, you swear on the regular show.
The hell down.
And now you're like a fucking choir boy all of a sudden.
No, hey. Choir boy.
Hey.
Let's talk about the Catholic Church. Anybody?
I went to 12 years hard time.
I did
you?
13.
Oh.
And I'll never forget, I went to confession, and which is a very screwy idea if you think about it. You sit there with
who decides
with
how many Hail Marys and how many
And I wasn't that bad of a kid, and I remember I said, I got in trouble for mooning a school bus father. And he said, for what? I said, for mooning. He goes, what's that? I go, well, I pulled down my pants and I showed my bare bottom to all the kids in the school bus, and the priest said,
priest is like, that's
show me exactly what you did.
Oh no.
I made a joke and you made it real.
Through that wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Wow.
I exaggerated.
See, I made a joke that I said he said that's hot, and you actually made it
really
real,
happened. Pretty close to happening. The Catholic Church to me is the definition of patriarchy. Like, I won't even bring my wife grew up like strict, went to Catholic schools, whatever. Now I have daughters, and it's like when they ask, a lot of their friends are Catholic, and when they ask about it, I'm like, no, you can't be a leader. You can't be a priest. You can't be a bishop. You can't be a cardinal. Obviously, the Pope. You can't. That is the most patriarchal institution in the world. Try to argue with me.
Yeah. And now, as we discussed on the regular show, your daughters are drunken, tattoo wearing.
They're real
miscreants.
Yeah, they're miscreants. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of a word. That's what they are. 14. She's drinking now, and the 12-year-old is in a very serious relationship with a Jewish boy, though. So I'm happy about that.
Uh-huh.
I'm happy about that. Very, very kind, thoughtful, sensitive Jewish boy.
Bridget loves Bernie.
I'll take it.
But at 12.
No,
he is too young to get that reference, Stephanie.
But I acted like I knew it.
Yes.
Did you
he
see
is
that?
Way too young to get that reference.
Meredith Baxter had a show before.
Before Family
Mary
Ties?
Baxter.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The girls are...
Before she was a lesbian.
I absolutely love being a father to these girls. I take it very, very seriously. Well, I take it as a
I'm
job.
I'm glad you love it, despite the fact that it doesn't seem like you're very good at it.
Yeah.
Because you told us earlier you have a liquor cabinet that they can keep their liquor in.
I told them. I wrote a line in Sharpie on it, so I'll know exactly if you have any.
Right.
And she seemed to buy that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Twitter was abuzz when you mentioned that on the on the regular show.
Is
yes.
that right?
Yes.
Oh, I got to check that. Uh-huh. There's a lot of judgment.
There's a lot of judgment on Twitter. Imagine that.
She also knows just to put water in the vodka bottle there.
I told her not to do that and realized I'd given her the idea to do it.
And iced tea in the whiskey bottle.
Yes, thank you. That.
Yeah.
Well, when you're raising, you know, when you have kids, when you have adolescent kids, you are definitely thinking about drugs, alcohol, and sex. And those are three things that you think a lot about. And what is the best way to handle that? I don't like the authoritarian parents, specifically the authoritarian father. And so when she got in trouble for drinking at a party, it wasn't like I was going to knock her down. I lay out the consequences.
Right.
This is what that means for your life. This is what it means. Is this what you want for your... Because if you do that again, then you're going to find yourself in trouble. And then I let her choose her path.
So you're a liberal pussy dad.
Yes. Okay. I think that would be accurate, and I'm proud of it.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you don't have the excuse of being old. My parents were old by the time they raised my brother and I. So they'd be like, when did you get in? We're like, when did you go to bed? They'd say like 8. Well, like 8:30.
And you would just be dishonest.
Yeah. No, because I did when I was 14. I had a 17-year-old boyfriend, and we would go to local bar because my parents didn't know. And I drank, I don't know, you know,
I feel like
Ripple or something.
I feel like parenting, the best thing you can do is try to maintain a trust and a sense of honesty so that even if they do bad things, wrong things, they're willing to tell you. And my daughter and I are so close. Both my daughters and I really think she tells
me. You could do a Rianiti commercial.
I will.
Rianiti on ice.
He's
on
too
ice.
Young to
no,
get
I got that
one.
Okay. I got that one.
Okay. Leap for Milch. That had a nun on it. Leap for Milch had a, that was sweet wine with a nun on the.
I'll take
blue
it.
Blue nun.
Isn't it cheaper?
It was blue nun.
Oh, blue nun.
Yeah.
Yes. Leap from Milch.
Either way, whatever it is, just as long as we stay open, honest, and that I am terrified of losing her trust.
Aww.
Yeah.
Because
that's a good dad. Wow.
To go downhill.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
Aww.
She tells me everything. And I mean, even she.
Well, that's because she's drunk. So she probably gets chatty.
Well,
really chatty.
I also
drunk with a tramp stamp.
A syringe of that honesty fluid into her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tramp stamp.
No.
Yeah. It's not a tramp stamp. It's a picture of a unicorn. Calm down.
When you were a lad.
It's a rainbow. It's actually in solidarity with gay pride. I mean, it's just a tattoo.
Hold that thought, Pete. We all know how shallow and Hollywood-y I am. So let's just pause while I whiten my teeth, shall we?
What are you going to get some like white out and put it on your teeth?
No. Check this out. You know how my life is littered with mistakes, as you know.
Right.
Okay. So have you tried well, first of all, dentists cost a fortune for whitening. Teeth whitening trays. Have you ever tried that?
Ugh, gross.
No. Sloppy, expensive, and it hurts. Gums are sensitive.
And it makes you drool in the worst kind
like
of way.
Like a St. Bernard.
Ugh.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Teeth whitening strips. No. Yes. The holidays are coming. Let's bust out some pearly whites, man.
All right.
Let's do this.
Okay.
I'm telling you what. This year I'm getting, I'm about to tell you, fresh box of power swabs.
Ooh, what? What are these?
You have not whitened until you whitened with power swabs. They're clinically proven to whiten an average of 2 shades in the first 5 minutes. That's 5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Right. Power swabs never leave my teeth and gums all sore and sensitive like other whitening treatments. They've solved that problem. Totally safe and effective on all dental work. If you're not happy, power swabs are backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try power swabs. You will not believe how much whiter your teeth are in just 5 minutes. And I got you a deal, Travis.
You did?
Go to buypowerswabs.com. Use my code SEXY for 40% off and an additional $10 off plus a free quick stick. That's right, 40% off, plus $10 off, plus a free quick stick, 1-800-668-1749, and use my code SEXY. That's buypowerswabs.com. The code is SEXY. Buypowerswabs.com today.
Yeah.
Now, Pete, when you were a young nerd, you started performing in public during high school where you'd MC talent shows and read morning announcements over the public address system. Did you do pranks, or were you more
I got in trouble.
Were you more like Eve Arden? Welcome to Rydell.
No, I did pranks and I got in a lot of trouble for that. And to the point where I didn't lose my job as the morning announcer, but the teacher came
in. Job.
This is when, my role that I'd auditioned for.
Right.
I killed that kid. And the teacher would come in and this was back when teachers could touch you. He put his hand on my neck and just waited for me to make up an after school activity that wasn't happening. I'm like, and the underwater basket weaving class is taking place at 3 o'clock. And then he would just squeeze my neck. And I would, But no, at high school was to me, never missed a day. Not one absence all 4 years.
Wow.
Because every day was an audience.
Okay.
That's where I got my first laugh. It's like crap.
Yeah. I mean, every day was, and then you go to the next class, new audience. So I absolutely loved it. That's where I found comedy.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
So you live in Rockland County now, County, New York, which is the in the burbs of New York City.
Yeah, where everybody moved apparently in the 50s to get away from black people. And now they're my neighbors. Their kids are my neighbors. Oh. It's like, you know, cops and firefighters, you know, Irish, Italian, Catholic cops and firefighters. And so it's a weird place. I'm generalizing. I've found my people.
Yes.
But when I first moved there and I was hosting.
This is almost starting to sound like a racially uncomfortable Joe Biden story, but okay.
It's the truth. I mean, it's people. They try to act like they're very liberal, progressive, open-minded. But then when they get you, behind closed doors, they say something horrific. You're like, wait, what? But I was hosting a show on CNN for 5 seconds, and when I first moved up there, and I was coaching my daughter's Little League team, and another parent came over and was, oh, I hear you're Mr. Big CNN now. I'm like, yeah, the show airs today. I hope you watch. He goes, I only watch Fox. I'm like, what kind of a dick?
Yeah.
Like, you just lie. Just fake it.
Right.
Like, don't, it's
what happened to civility?
Who says to a person, I sell Rioniti wine. Well, I only buy
Blue Nun.
Yeah.
Just lie to me. Just pretend you listen to my show.
Yeah. We both, don't you feel like everyone in the universe has had a short-lived CNN experience? Because I told you my story. First of all, they shot a pilot.
Yeah.
With me, mm-hmm. that they said was the best pilot they ever saw.
Right.
And I was so, I came back from New York, woohoo, we taped on Friday. And I called on Monday to follow up, and the guy, the executive, had left for Fox.
Well,
over the weekend.
Yeah, no, you were telling me a story, and it's so interesting because it's it is true. I guarantee that guy loved you. And I had a similar experience where this woman, you know, Janelle Rodriguez, I'll say her name, she was amazing to me. She's now at MSNBC. And she gave me a huge opportunity. But the truth is, corporate media, there's 10, 15 people making those decisions. So the person that is pulling for you only has just so much political capital until some other douchebag comes in and says, I don't see it. And you're like, but you don't see anything. You've never, you have no credit for anything.
I did the daily panel on CNN every day, right up until we asked to get paid. I think Dino Patel and I asked to get paid at the same time.
And they've got
and they
the
were
money.
Like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. No, they
were like, highest rated segment of the show. We love it. Love
people
it. Love it.
People so often will say to you, well, you know, if you do this gig, you'll get some major cosmetics company tried to book me to MC this all day event.
Yeah.
And I said, my agent should have been handling it, but for whatever reason, they called me directly. And I said, yeah, well, what's the offer? Mm-hmm. So, well, we don't have any money, but you'll get a lot of exposure. I'm like, I'm 40.
Right.
I have a family.
You can't pay the mortgage with exposure.
Done. That's what I said to CNN. I'm like, I have a job. Like,
exactly.
I'm happy to be on call 24/7 for you. But like,
you've got to pay me for what other job did you? I mean, you listen.
Huffington Post.
Oh, you want to hear our MSNBC story? So when Imus got fired, they brought up.
What did he get fired for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they brought us in. We were one of the shows.
They flew the three of us in.
Yeah, to do
To sit on the set and all of that. It was amazing.
Yeah,
on Imus's set.
Yeah, and there was a lot of remember.
Was
buzz
his essence still there?
There was a lot of buzz at the time that we were going to get it, and you know we did like 3 days. But remember, Dan Abrams was in charge then, and he told us when we got there, he's like, "Oh, they're going to have to go with someone they already have under contract, Joe Scarborough, because they have to pay him because his evening show failed, and they're going to have to pay his contract out. So they're going to they're going to go to someone in house. It doesn't really matter because we weren't the only people, right? We got pre-fired basically. We were fired before we started.
It happens.
I think they brought in Larry Elder or something like that.
But it happens.
A bunch of people. None of them had a shot. Is what he was saying. They're not actually auditioning people there.
Yeah, it's back to the point I was making. Like you have these champions in this corporate media outlet. They really genuinely do like you. They take a chance on you. They give you the opportunity. And then somebody else says, oh, no, we're going to go with this guy. And like, did I just waste my time? And more importantly, I really got my hopes up that this is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
And then some.
I've stopped that. I've stopped getting my hopes up for anything. I just did.
Oh, I got to learn from that.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's been my saying in life. Whenever God shuts a door somewhere else, he shuts a window too, and you're fucked.
Yeah, I'm living it right now.
Worked in my love life, worked for my professional life.
But look at you now. I mean, I don't know. I look at you and think that you are at the pinnacle. I mean, that's how I see it.
All right, look at your commute.
How did Dana Goldberg describe my life? Basement, day drinking. Back to the basement, day drinking.
It's called wealth. I think that's one.
Go to sleep alone.
Yeah. I think
die alone, beaten by my dogs. I'm on a trajectory, Pete.
What about this definition? We have a strange definition of success and wealth in this country, in society, and it's almost always attached to your income. But I think that we should start defining wealth by your commute.
Yes.
Like if you love your job, like I loved live radio at SiriusXM. It was my dream job. You know what I hated? Driving into New York.
It's true.
An hour.
I have a three staircase. Yeah, I have a three staircase commute, and because I have no love life of any kind, it's a very fast commute. There used to be some crowding.
Right. Well, if you have to crawl over a person or not, it doesn't matter. You still just have to walk downstairs. That, to me, is absolute 1% or wealth.
This goes back to the whole support of Mark Maher and all of us, like, you know, being competitive when we're younger. I mean, all of my sort of, what's the word, like contemporaries, you know, who are basically my age, Jon Stewart, you know, Rosie O'Donnell, Ellen DeGeneres, Rachel Maddow even. You're right. I mean, multimillionaire, huge television stars. And so we do tend to compare ourselves. Like,
Don't, because...
Well, whereas we told you our story that one day we were off the air because the Time Warner guy said that squirrels chewed my...
Yeah, there's disadvantages
squirrels
to not...
Squirrels chewed my wire.
Yeah. There's disadvantages. I'm getting this. I'm understanding this now, but there's a lot of disadvantages to not working in corporate media. But as I tweeted the other day, it's like the best thing about being fired is that you don't have to worry about being fired. Like you're your own boss and you're doing your own thing. There are pros and there are cons. And yeah, you don't have the tech here and you're in your own home and sometimes things go wrong. But by the way, they go wrong in corporate media as well. I mean, even if they don't go wrong, you got to deal with this asshole over here who has no right, you know, talking to you, much less reprimanding
you. We talked about this, the whole progressive universe. I mean, it is, I will say it's irritating that they peddle basically hate and lies and they all make millions. The right-wing radio hosts, Fox News. And I'm just saying, you know, I'm very lucky. But, you know, I basically make enough to keep this house so that I can have the studio and do this show. And I'm not complaining, but there is something in our media universe that's wrong, that these people are all multimillionaires.
Well, why do you think that is?
We were saying you can be right wing and you can roll out of bed and get 400 radio stations tomorrow. I mean.
Yeah, but you have to be. But you then have to look in the mirror and say, all I'm selling is hatred. And if that's how you want to make your money, then you have to deal with that. But they probably don't realize that. They don't even see that. But we can't do that. I have some strong theories. I think the reason why you've been as successful as you have been is your humor. I think that the only way liberal political media succeeds, not the only way, but generally speaking, is when it's done in a really entertaining way. And that's I worked at The Daily Show. I worked at The Colbert Report, and I created a channel on SiriusXM with John Fugelsang and Dino Badala on it that was supposed to be that. It was political talk, but it was done in an entertaining way. That's how we fight apathy. That's how we get an audience, by doing it in an entertaining way, we can't be just filled with hatred and screaming and dividing all the time.
But that goes further to my point, Pete, because I've said that over and over, that I think on either side, you can't just do talking points and being on your soapbox. It's not entertaining. But I would say, you know, John and I just did a panel with right-wingers that we do every year at Politicon.
Yeah.
They're not funny. And they just do the talking points.
Right.
But that goes to my point. But how come so many of them are making millions based on,
because
Mark Levin, he got it with this voice, got a radio. Okay.
Stephanie Miller, one of the most popular and funny liberal radio hosts in the country.
How do you get with that voice?
Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no audience. She's been up and coming for 20 years. She's sarcastic.
He thinks I'm sarcastic.
He once name checked me, and I'm so flattered.
Yes,
but he refused. He did that thing where he refused to pronounce my name correctly to not give me too much credit. But you can't get away with it when your name is Pete Dominic. There's no way.
Right. There's no way to mispronounce that.
Some Latino people will say Dominique, but that's okay, because that's how it's spelled. So he goes, this Pete. What's his name? Pete Dominich. I don't know what his name is. I'm like, you can't get that wrong, Levin. Yeah. But I think the answer to your question is very simple. I think that selling fear, making people think that they are, if they don't believe me, if they don't listen to me, then they're going to die. And if you don't buy the things I'm selling as well, then you're going to die. Now here's your food bucket. You know, build your bunker. That sells. That making people afraid of another group of people, another politician, an idea.
Yeah.
Making people terrified of an idea. We can't
shit
do
my
that.
Pants just about on air every day, so I'm afraid.
Yes,
I'm naked and afraid half the time.
Yeah,
Pete.
But it's genuine. And maybe theirs is genuine as well. Where are the naked and afraid pictures?
I don't think so. I worked in right-wing radio, too. And
I don't know.
You think they were lying straight up, or there's a grain of...
They understand that they're talking to an audience and they have to pander to a certain audience. I think there's more of that in right-wing radio than there is in left-wing radio.
What I wonder is when you go out and you meet your fans, your listeners, people who have supported you for years, how do you feel about them versus how Mark Levin, if he even does, or any of them meet there? Because I bet you it's like Trump.
Yeah.
Trump doesn't want to meet his supporters.
No.
He does. He has no respect for these people. Yeah. He finds them to be poor, or whatever.
Difference. It's just principles. People have said to me over and over, if you suddenly went back to your Republican roots, you'd pick up 400 stations tomorrow. Like, if you decided that...
But you couldn't do it.
For us, like, this isn't a game.
Right.
This is really what I fucking believe. Like, I couldn't do it.
That's why you're
rich.
Defining wealth by being able to do what you love. It's not what you have.
But like
it's
Ann Coulter, we've said this.
I knew her. You're not going to. What are you
going
to say?
Way back in the day, I knew her. She was one of, when I hosted Equal Time on CNBC with Babe Buchanan, she was one of a million blonde female Republican pundits. She made it, you can see when she made a deliberate decision to go, oh, I need to say crazier shit to sell more books and to get, you know, on TV more. And I don't think she believes the shit she says.
And I wonder how she sleeps at night. If she does, I don't know.
She sleeps on a pile of money.
She actually, I think she sleeps...
and cigarettes and broken Chardonnay glasses.
She sleeps on broken dreams and lies.
Yeah.
Let's pause again. Have we noticed that there's a theme with me, and that is my Hollywood shallowness?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the point of being in Hollywood? I mean, where they don't go for booze and dope.
You got to look good.
Right? I need my Plexiderm.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you. It is really like magic. I saw the TV commercials before I started using it myself, mm-hmm. and I was like, wait a minute. Is that Photoshop? Is that real?
Hey.
And it is. We are not Boo Boo the Foo up in here. And I thought, oh, is that like time lapses or whatever? No, it works. I'm telling you.
It's real time.
Right?
Yep.
Couple of minutes. Okay.
This is way better than that Death Becomes Her method.
I put it on, and by that time, Travis has sent me 17 more stories. By the time I go get them, it's already worked.
Yep.
And you're tired from reading them.
Yes. But you can't see that I am, because no more crow's feet, no more bags, no more wrinkles. Crow's feet. Bye-bye. Okay. I didn't believe it either till I tried it, I swear. And I've tried a lot of, let's just say, mommy's tried some expensive face creams.
There's a whole shelf in your bathroom of all the failed experiments.
Yeah, I've had to say to friends, don't touch that. That's mommy's, and that's expensive.
It's mommy's little helper.
And it doesn't work.
Mommy's little helper. No, and it doesn't. And Plexiderm, it's amazing. Just see what I'm talking about. Go to triplexiderm.com. Use my code SEXYLIBER for 50% off, plus an additional $10 off. I mean, seriously.
That's a bargoon.
That's right. 50% off, plus an additional $10 off. This offer also available by calling 1-800-685-1292. Mention the code SEXYLIBER. Plexiderm, backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Try it with mama. Try mommy's little helper. Triplexiderm.com. Use the code SEXYLIBERAL at checkout. That's triplexiderm.com. The code is SEXYLIBERAL.
But no, when I meet the people who listen to my show, I don't, like, I can't wait to meet those people.
Yeah, no,
they're
our
my
fans
friends.
Our fans are the greatest.
Like, are you,
me too.
I'm really close friends with a lot of people.
I actually am friends with,
speaking of, you know, these people are better, smarter people than I am. And they're just so thoughtful, and they've made me a better person. That's because what I'm selling, what I'm saying right now in this microphone, I completely believe. I've never said anything I don't believe. I don't even know that I've exaggerated outside of, for comedic purposes, something that I don't believe.
I hope you haven't paraphrased, because that's treason now.
I have paraphrased. Who paraphrased and got...
Schiff. Shifty Schiff.
Oh.
Shifty Schiff.
God, come on.
Treason.
I mean,
impeachment.
I mean, Trump just says things that people didn't even remotely say and attributes them to the wrong person.
Right.
So forget paraphrasing.
No, you are right, though. When we go around the country, and the letters you get sometimes, that is the stuff when you're feeling low, right, that like keeps you going.
When my show went off
like
the
air. They tell you the most personal, beautiful stories. And
you've changed their lives. I had so many men who are like me, like they're straight mostly.
Bad fathers.
Terrible fathers who give their kids vodka and say, you drink now, pussy! First time I've used that word in a long time.
Wow.
But I get to meet these men who they say, because they've listened to the way I parent, the way I, you know, talk about my wife, and they've made them a better man. They think about sustainability ideas. They think about so many things because of the show. And it, to me, it is There's nothing that makes me feel more wealthy than that. To have an effect on one person and changing the way that they live their life is a pretty big deal. If you're a teacher, if you're a mentor of some sort, but thousands, if not more people reaching out to you and say, you've made me a more thoughtful man. I mean, I cried every day reading these emails when I left SiriusXM.
Well, how long have you been married?
I've been with my wife 19 years, but we got married when our daughters were 4 and 2 for insurance purposes in like 2009. So we've been married for whatever year, about 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked Tom Hartman yesterday, it's his anniversary, and he said, how many years? He's like, I don't. I'm like, well, you better fucking figure it out, Tom. But it's because it's so long. It's, I mean, I think he's somewhere in his 30 something years together with Louise. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's, 19 years. Why do you ask?
Well, no, I just, because when you were talking about your wife, and yeah. I, you know, I've mentioned this before, which is hard. My parents had this, as I always call it, 40-year conversation until my dad died. And that's the one thing missing from my life. I mean, I've had a 10-year relationship, but I've had some shorter conversations.
Well, do you,
but I'm just saying, when I look at Tom and Louise, or I look, you know, listen to you, I mean, I wish I could find that.
Yeah, but I think that, with all due respect, like, to give you advice is kind of condescending, but I think that comparing your life with your parents' life, specifically your relationship with your parents' marriage, we do that. We all will always do that. Well, but
my mom's 96, so that's part of it too. Is that her really wanting me to, you know, and wanting that person to meet my mom?
It sounds like you're close to your mom, but it's about what you want.
Yeah,
you know, and if you're happy,
I want to not die alone and be eaten by my dogs.
Well, then you probably won't. I mean, like, whatever you're looking for, and you know, you'll find it or you won't, but you stay in the moment each day and try to, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think
these guys basically just come in and they smell to see if there is, you know, dead body smell. And they're like, yeah, I think
what
we're
is
okay.
It with you? Do you mind me asking you a personal question?
Yes.
Like, in relationships, like, what works, what doesn't work?
I think me. This is the thing that doesn't work.
What do you? Well, that's good. If you're looking at
it. I said this to my ex. We were talking this weekend, and I said, you always told me that you aren't good at it. She didn't want to. She was married to a man, and she didn't want to ever do it again. She said, I'm not good at it. And I always thought I was. You know, when I had my long-term relationship, everyone was like, oh my God, you're the best partner. Like, you do everything for fill in the blank. And... but anyway, I don't know. I said, I don't know. I used to think I was really good at it. Maybe I'm not. So I don't know. You don't know whether you haven't met the right person or, you know,
I can give you
X, Y, and Z reasons, but
my marriage has been very volatile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Off and on, connected and disconnected. My wife is a product of tremendous abuse. I'm a product of a lot of privilege.
Yeah.
And so we're very yin and yang. But I think about my marriage the same way I do my career. And specifically my parenting. Like I once had this thought. I'm like, oh, I do, you know, a conference call every day, an editorial meeting every day. But how often am I having that conversation with my wife? And so I realized that I was putting so much work into my career that your relationships will suffer. So you have to try to, balance is everything.
Right. And everybody that says it's hard work, I think that's true. And my ex actually said, she said, Steph, no one's good at it. She said, I have 3 different friends getting divorced.
Deadly accurate.
And I've had, you know, couples say, did you ever want to get divorced? And most of them say, oh, of course, just not both of us at the same time.
Nobody ever, even the people that you're closest with that you think you know the best, whether they be your siblings, your own family, you only know really your parents. And even you don't even know your parents' relationship. It's like, you know, Facebook and Instagram and social media is what you want people to think is going on in your life. Here's my vacation photos. I'm so happy, you know, really.
Someone said, never judge the inside of your life on the outside of someone else's life.
If you really want to know what it is about a person, what's going on with a person, check their internet history.
Yes,
that's the truth, and that's the truth of other relationships. And yes, every relationship has its problems in it, but you don't see that stuff. You just have to forgive yourself, I think, and you do have to invest in it. I have a certain things that I do every single day with my wife. The first thing I do is after I meditate, I text her. And I try to make that text something unique, an observation, a thought, a memory, just so I've had that, at least that one connection, that one investment with her. And
see, I might have ended up with a man if I could find one that texted more than sup.
I mean,
ended a conversation with K.
I don't know how much has to do with gender and masculinity and femininity.
No, I think that's a really good thing for anybody, family, friends, lovers. That's just a nice thought, is like, really put some, you know, especially in this world of electronics, put some thought into what you say to someone or something that might be meaningful to them and not just, you know.
The greatest sound in my life is my wife's laugh. period.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's always been that. She has a great laugh. I could never date a woman, by the way, of course, who had, you know, some
I told my
laugh.
Ex I started dating her laugh before I started dating her.
Yeah, exactly. So my wife's laugh.
We're comedians, though.
Exactly. So. When you're making people laugh a lot, it better sound like an orchestra. And so I want to hear that laugh every day. I'm very much an invest. I don't care if I make thousands of people laugh. If I don't make her laugh, that's a day that I've lost. So
you know who said that once? Bruce Springsteen.
Mark Twain?
Right. What? No.
I'm usually compared to Twain. No, no one's ever.
No, I just, it always struck me. Bruce Springsteen talked about it. He said, even, and you know, his crowds, right? He said, you know, however many, I don't know how many people, thousands and tens of whatever his, you know, stadium is.
Yeah.
He said that feeling, he said, still doesn't compare to that connecting that one other person that,
absolutely. Completely.
That means the most to you. Yeah.
Absolutely. To have the you know, complete strangers like you and care about you and invest in what you're doing in media like us is awesome. It's amazing. But that doesn't fill my cup the way if I'm not connected to my
wife.
When
I hear your cup is filled, if you know what I'm saying.
It usually is.
What?
Wow.
With cannabis. What is going on out here?
That was a jockstrap joke, and he didn't even get it. It was a big dick joke.
Yeah, and I should have gotten that because I am a college athlete. But I am
rusty with men. What?
It's, Steph, I haven't worn a cup in 20 years.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that may be why that's a little, and that was a little moldy.
And when
reference.
I did wear one, they didn't fit me very well.
Yeah, never say moldy.
See, I thought marriage required a cup. That's what I've, that's because it seems hard.
Mine just requires a chest protector.
Okay.
Yeah. The secret to my marriage.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, people, I do this in my stand-up act. I won't do the bit, but people are so uncomfortable with this idea, but it is 100%. It's one secret. Separate beds.
Oh, like Lucy and Ricky. My parents had separate beds.
But separate bedrooms
the single
or
beds.
Separate beds?
Separate beds.
Okay.
That's what my parents doesn't had. Matter. Single beds. Yeah.
No, we're not in the same room because she has major sleep issues.
Okay.
And
yeah,
I make her uncomfortable. I only make them worse. I get up at a different time. I go to bed. And so she's in paradise every night. Her sleep is so important to her. And so I can sleep anywhere, anytime. And so I just give her the room and I have my own, you know, twin bed and I'm comfortable and fine. And we're so much happier because of that. Because if she doesn't get her sleep.
Do you have like SpongeBob sheets on your little twin bed? Or
in my room right now?
Yeah.
How did you know that?
How
did
you
know? No, they're Return of the Jedi.
All right. PeteDominic.com. Stand Up with Pete, the new podcast.
Please listen. I need your support.
I am so excited to finally to do this. I mean, we're planets that have been orbiting each other or something.
Watching you guys, listening to you guys has been a really important thing for my career. And now that I'm in career transition, I'm so excited to learn more about what you guys are doing and hear you more because we used to be on the same time slot.
Yeah.
So in anticipation to be on your show, I listened to your show today and I so enjoyed it.
Aww.
It's so good.
Thank you.
And to, you know, if any of your success and wisdom can rub off on me, I'll take it all. And I'll also take a lot of things from your house. I'm not lying. Including some
There's
of your
one
people.
One thing we impart daily, it is wisdom. And I appreciate
What's that? Is that me? You're hearing it?
It's your
noticing
boss.
The highbrow nature of our show. We love you, Pete Dominic. Happy
Yay!
Happy
Thank
hour.
You, guys.
Oh, you can say shat on this show. That you said on the early show. Shat is a swear word. It is the, I know,
also,
preview, someone that who has already shit
the past
has
part
shat.
It's also the past tense of what I just did in your studio.
All right.
I don't know if you
it's
can.
All not okay
so
on
sorry.
The regular show.
I'm so sorry.
Filthy, filthy man whore, Pete Dominic.
Hey, this is Bob Seska, host of The Bob Seska Show. If you enjoyed this episode, you're going to love my show, where every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we talk about this guy.
Trump is crazy.
And this guy.
Trump is a f***ing idiot.
And we say this a lot.
Sweet, merciful crap.
Because.
He can't keep getting away with it.
Find The Bob Seska Show at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, BobSeska.com, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.